Turn to 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. We're going to be there just a moment. Your Bible is on the back. Are you going to still? Everything you can do nowadays, pretty cool. You can download. You can probably do that here next to me. So we'll download my Bible. Have one on my phone. It's pretty cool, too. So we'll be at 2 Corinthians 12 in a few moments. Thanks, worship team, for leading us in some great worship. Honoring our mothers as well. Let's pray as we begin. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your goodness. And as we look into your word, as we finish up this series on grace, Lord, may you speak to our hearts. And Lord, whether we've been here through the whole series or maybe this is the first time, that your truth of what your grace looks like in so many different ways would be shown to us. Even this morning as we look at kind of grace in the difficult times, Lord, may you touch our hearts as only you can. As I mentioned, today's our last message on grace. Kind of a little preview for next week, because you probably hear a congregational lead, you think, okay, I'm not a member, I'm out of here. I want to encourage you not to have that attitude, because our congregation, it may be different than some of you have been in before. We're actually going to have communion. Okay, Jason's going to lead us to communion. We're going to have worship, normal worship, first half hour. But we're also going to have testimony of someone. I'll wait, keeping in suspense next week, as well as sharing some things that we're looking ahead to the future. And so when we talk about our meeting, Jason did mention this, but it's a time where we come to celebrate what God's been doing in this last year, especially since January, as well as look ahead. And we do have some other things that are important. We have our budget that we'll be voting on. It's important. And we will be, we have a nomination, we'll have the election voting on Mike Noe, which, real quick, Mike, just raise your hand over here. This Mike, for those who don't know, most of you do, but Mike, we prayed with him, and
he's a guitar player.
To be one of our elders, so that for members, an opportunity to affirm that if you'd like. So anyway, next week's going to be an exciting week. So I encourage you to come and hear about what God has done and what he's going to do. And again, we're going to have some time of communion and worship as well. So it'll be somewhat normal. Our service is never normal, right? We always do something different here. Anyway, it's like but as we finish this series on grace, sometimes I think we all admit life can get overwhelming, can't it? You ever feel like life's overwhelming? How many of you say life sometimes is overwhelming? Okay? If you haven't, then, wait a week and you'll probably find out life gets tough. And the truth is, it doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter what stage of life you are at. For some of us here, we are older parents. We have older parents. Some of us are older parents. And something that you may deal with, that actually I had to deal with a few years ago, is with parents who are declining health. And maybe you're dealing with a family member who has Alzheimer's. Or maybe you have to make some of those tough decisions of a parent that has to can't take care of themselves. Can't decide where they're going to live. Those are tough decisions. Difficult choices, aren't they? Others of us are dealing with health issues, right? Seems like at some point in our life we're going to deal with health issues, whether that's high blood pressure, or whether it's a knee or a hip replacement, or whether that's facing even a difficult thing of cancer or some other disease. And these can be overwhelming circumstances in our lives. But it's not just for us who are getting older, it's for young people as well. It's the stress, the pressure of saving money and paying for college, right? We have some college students here. And then for those who have graduated, like this is my daughter, then it's the stress of paying off some of those debts that you have, right? For many of us, it's dealing with the stresses of your job, being a parent. We talked about motherhood this morning, right? There's stresses in that. Tough times at different times in our lives. And one airline commercial a while ago, I don't know if they still do, but one airline commercial kind of had this theme, says, life comes at you fast. And that's true. Life comes at you fast a lot of times, and sometimes we can feel like checking out or like giving up during those tough times in life. I mean, you're having a bad day when you wake up in the hospital all bandaged up and your limbs are in casts. And there is your insurance agent, and he goes, I got some good news, I got some bad news. He says, okay, what is it? Well, the good news is your insurance covers your fall from the roof. Oh, that's great. The bad news is it doesn't cover the fall on the ground. That's not the kind of insurance that you usually want, is it? That would be not exactly one of your best days when you find out something like that happens. But you know, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we can have encouragement. We're not immune to those difficult times. So. And yet there's literally millions of Christians over the years who have read God's word, a particular passage that we're looking at this morning, that has brought them encouragement, that's brought them help, that's brought them a joy, even in the midst of those tough times. And the one passage that many people look to is it's a really short verse. You can memorize it even this morning. It's from 2 Corinthians 12:9. And it's where Jesus says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you." So this morning, I want you to look at, what does it look like to have grace in tough times? What does this mean? What does this look like in real day life? As some of the issues that we just talked about a moment ago, some of you relate directly to. So if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn there to 2 Corinthians 12. We're going to start in verse 7 through 10. And this is Paul, the great, we always think of, you know, the Apostle Paul, if you know a little bit of that, we think of, and this is, he wrote half the New Testament. This is a man who's got everything going, he's a great follower of God. Life must be great for him, right? No, he has some tough times too. Let's look at he writes here to the church there in Corinth. He says, we kind of start in the middle of the story. We'll back it up later on. But start verse 7. It says, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing great revelations God's given me, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. A thorn in my flesh, a messenger actually of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" Paul says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I even delight." Interesting word. We have that word up there, don't we? About our mission statement. "I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am also strong." Paul here, we see, is dealing with an issue, a problem in his life. There is a problem. What is it? It's that tough times come into our lives. No matter, again, what age you are, how long you live, at some point, there's going to be some difficult times that come into your life. And for Paul, he says, a thorn in the flesh is coming, a messenger of Satan. Interesting phrase here. And he says, a thorn in the flesh. Maybe you've even heard that before. Sometimes we say, a pain in my side. Right? Sometimes we talk about it happens, it's a pain. Sometimes say pain. But you know, pain in the side, you know? Paul's saying, "I have this thorn in the flesh." What was he talking about? He gives us a word picture to kind of help us understand what he's going through. Now, maybe if you're like me, when I was young, I used to go barefoot a lot. And during the summer, and I remember a few times where I'd step on a bee and I'd get angry because I stepped on it. It would sting me, right? And there would be this stinger in there. Or maybe you stepped on a thorn. Or you've had some kind of sliver in your foot. And what happens when that gets in there? It irritates it, doesn't it? And you begin walking around, you find this pain, this discomfort, this limp. And it's a frustration for you. And there's really no ease or comfort until what happens? Until you take it out, right? Until you get it out. Paul here has this picture of a thorn that is frustrating him. This thing is causing him pain. It's causing him trouble. And it's a tough situation. It's something interesting. He says he wants it removed. He says, "God, remove this pain. Remove this issue in my life that's frustrating me, that's causing me pain." Now, if you're like most people, you may be thinking something in your mind right now. You may be thinking, "Why? What's he talking about?" Right? What's this thorn in the flesh? It's kind of vague. Messenger of Satan, that promise. What's he talking about? What's he referring to? Well, there's a lot of different ideas that people have come up with of what is this thorn in the flesh. Let me just share a few of them that have kind of come up and thought, well, maybe this is what he's talking about in his particular situation. Maybe he's talking about a particular temptation. See, Paul was single. He chose to be single, chose celibacy, and he devoted his time. He said, "I devoted my energy to sharing Jesus, to going out into, you know, what we call be a missionary or a pastor." Basically, he just went out and started churches and told people. So maybe it's the temptation that really all men face of choosing to be pure in thought and action. I'm sure many of us men, and probably I'm sure women as well, but I know for myself and for the men that I talk to, that we kind of pray and wish we wouldn't have to deal with so much of those temptations that are especially a part of our culture. And we say, just kind of take those temptations away. Maybe for you it's a different temptation. So many people thought, well, maybe that I just pray, take this thorn, this constant temptation that I'm facing, just take it away. Many others say, no, it's probably something even more practical than that. Paul had a lot of opposition and enemies. There were people who didn't like him teaching and preaching about Jesus. Matter of fact, if you know a little bit, he was actually thrown in jail a number of times. He was actually beaten physically because of his telling people that Jesus was Messiah, that Jesus was the Son of God. Maybe for you it's that, you know, it's an opposition. Maybe it's a particular person that is a pain in your side. It seems to always be just, you know, down on you or even trying to hurt you in some ways. Makes life rough, constant pain. So maybe you can relate. Others refers like, you know what, maybe for Paul, the story of the flesh that he's talking about is his abrasive nature. You can see some of the scriptures on there, Galatians 2, 1 Timothy 1. You can read those if you want later. But Paul was a pretty much an in-your-face type of person. You know, he didn't, you know, kind of just tippy-toe around things. He kind of just said it the way it was. And if you didn't like it, well, too bad. And, you know, maybe you kind of realize, you know, sometimes that's not the best way. Maybe he was praying, God, help me to deal with people better. Help me in this part of my personality. Change me. It's kind of a thorn because, you know, it's not really doing the best thing for other people. Maybe he wanted part of his personality changed or taken away. One of the most popular theories, actually, was that he's talking about the story of the flesh. He's talking about literally his flesh, his body. Many people, as you look at different portions of Scripture, Galatians 6, 4, 11, and 4, 15, talk about some of these things that Paul had these issues with his body. So maybe he was dealing with things, for instance, such as poor eyesight. Many people believe that Paul was going blind. Or maybe he was dealing with epilepsy or malaria, which could stay with you forever. If only he had, think about this, Paul's praying this, if only I had better physical health, I could do so much more for you, God. If you would just fix this thing in my body, you ever prayed that? You know, probably all of us have, or will at some point. Others think, you know, maybe it had to do with Paul's speaking. Because Paul, one of the things he did a lot was speak. And 1 Corinthians 10:10 kind of implied to me that he had a speech impediment. Like Moses. It's interesting. Some great men of God, some of the greatest speakers of all time, throughout history, have had speech impediments. The senior pastor that I was under for 17 years, the Bethany Church, had a speech impediment. I mean, you know, it's like, really, God, you're going to take somebody who stutters and call him to be a pastor or a prophet? Well, he did it for Moses. Maybe he did it for Paul. So maybe Paul was saying, you know, I can be so much more effective if I didn't always stutter, or if I could, you know, be a better speaker. Whatever that situation is, we don't know what's interesting. We don't know the situation. We don't know what that thorn in the flesh was, but we know it was something that was tough to deal with. Right? Why don't we know these things? Why didn't God tell us what it was about Paul? I think he did it for a reason. He doesn't want us to focus on one thing. Oh, for Paul, it was that he stuttered. Or they had a physical ailment. Well, I don't have that, so that doesn't apply to me, right? I think God left it vague for us because, you know what? Each one of us has a different thorn in the flesh that we have to deal with. Something difficult in our life that we have to deal with. He didn't want us to fixate on Paul's issue. He wants us to fixate on our issues, right? To see how God's grace is sufficient for us, for our problems, for our hurts, for our failures. And to see that sometimes, as we're going to talk about, God doesn't always remove them right away or forever. For some of us, that thorn in the flesh, that's something that we may carry around for a long time, may be a deep sorrow. Maybe you have a deep sorrow from the past. You wonder, why can't God just take that away? Or maybe it's a child who faces a sickness, or even a child who has something that they have to deal with for their whole life, and that's really hard, isn't it, for us as parents? Or maybe it's a you or a loved one who's facing some kind of disease. maybe even a life-threatening disease. For others, it's an addiction. Some of you maybe have faced addictions, or you have loved ones who have faced addictions. For some of you, maybe it's digging out of debt that you basically dug yourself into. And you wonder, God, how do I get, I just win the lottery. Now, God, help me with this. I won't ever do that thing again, you know? We have all these kinds of words. Just take this one. Just solve my problem, and then life will be easy and better, right? There's so many different tough things that we deal with. The question is, how will you deal with it? How do we deal with it? As we read earlier, and we're going to look at more in depth here in just a minute, God's grace is there for us to deal with it. He gives us grace in tough times. But there's another issue that's right related there with thorn in the flesh. It's interesting. Verse 7, he says something interesting, this whole discussion of tough times, of difficult problems that we face. Paul says, what did he say? And not only did he have this thorn in the flesh, but he also said he had a messenger, he said it was like a messenger of Satan to torment me. There was a messenger of Satan to torment me. There's something important for us to see when tough times come, and when hurt comes, kind of takes us to our knees. You ever, sometimes it physically takes us to our knees, or certainly just, we feel like, you know, that's all we can do just to stand. And God's there. There's two perspectives that we can see when we go through those difficult times, when we go to our knees. Two different perspectives, two different, quite honestly, people in a sense, that are at work in our lives. One of them is God, but the other is also Satan. Now, before I go into this, there's something you need to understand very clearly as we look at these kind of two perspectives. And that is this, that Satan and any of his followers are simply fallen angels. When we talk about demons, when we talk about Satan, he is a fallen angel. The angel who rebelled against God, just like we rebel against God, Satan and a number of other angels decide to rebel against God. And Satan is at work in our world. And he desires to torment us. Paul says, I have this thing in my life that is not only tough, but it's like a torment. Satan's using it against me. So this comparison we see here, the other thing we need to know is that God is ultimately in control. That God is all-powerful. And Satan is not. Okay? Satan is not. As we compare these, Satan is limited in who he is and what he can do. But as we look at this, we see a purpose for hard times. See, I believe that God does have a purpose when we go through these difficult times. But so does Satan. And they're the opposites. Okay? First thing you need to know is that Satan has no power but what God allows him. Okay? Satan and fallen angels have no power but what God allows them for a time to have. But here's the key. God does allow hard times to come into our lives. God allows those difficult times. You know, a classic example, maybe if you know the Bible a little bit, is Job. You probably heard the story of Job, right? Job, where God allowed Satan to go and to make his life very difficult, very hard, very painful. But you know, this same type of thing also happened to Jesus. God allowed to happen to his son during his arrest and crucifixion. God allowed that to happen. In both cases, God was in control of these difficult situations. God was even overseeing. He knew what was going on. You see, Satan uses those times to torment us. That's what Paul says. He used the torment. That word torment, it literally means to buffet or to hit in the face. You ever felt like you've been hit in the face by life? Sometimes they think it's actually an evil attack, that someone is against you. Sometimes he's there trying to torment us. He's there to harass us. He's there to hurt us, to bring us to despair. But here's an important piece about God, is that God brings about pain for a purpose. See, with God, pain has a purpose, and actually a good purpose. See, God doesn't, I don't believe God allows pain without a deeper purpose. For Paul, it's interesting, Paul states here at the very beginning, verse 7, he says he kind of introspects, he prays, and he realizes part of this thorn in the flesh for him was to keep him from being conceited, from being prideful. Because Paul had something very special very amazing happening that happens to very few, if anyone else. I don't know, there's been a few people that I believe maybe this has happened to in different ways, but he was able to actually visit heaven while he was still alive here on earth. Did you know that? Look at verse 1 through 6, chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. One of the reasons God could use Paul so well is because God gave him a bunch of revelations about who he was, about what he wanted to share. But with that came greater responsibility. But it's interesting. Look at verse 1. Paul says this. Because it's interesting, if you have to read verse chapter 11 and stuff, you kind of see the Corinthians were boasting about a bunch of things. They're kind of saying, you know, I think we know more than you do, Paul, and stuff. And so Paul kind of, you know, is correcting them, and he says this in chapter 12, verse 1. I must go on boasting, Paul says. That's interesting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to the visions and revelations from the Lord that I receive. See, I know a man. Now he begins talking about a man, which is talking about himself, okay? He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. He wasn't sure. Was he actually there? Was it a vision? He wasn't sure. It was so real. He says, I know that this man, talking about himself, whether in body or apart from the body, I don't know. God knows. He was caught up to paradise, another name for heaven. And he heard inexpressible things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. In other words, Paul is saying, you know what? I got a lot I can be bragging about right now. But God doesn't. That's not what God is wanting me to do. That's interesting. God here has a purpose for Paul. And that part of that purpose was to remain humble, wasn't it? To remain humble. That thorn in the flesh was a reminder of the experience that he had in the past, but also how he was to live his life in the future, how God was using him in unique ways, in amazing ways. He was seeing literally thousands of people come to know Christ. He was being used, and people were actually calling him a god, if you remember, in Acts. When he healed a person, they said, you must be a god. He said, no, no, no. I'm not. I'm just a messenger of God. And he realized that he was always in constant need of God's grace because of that issue, whatever that was that we're talking about. You see, our pain, our tough times always have a deeper purpose. Romans 8:28 tells us that. Where Paul penned this, he wrote this. He says that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. See, Satan, his desire is to put a wedge between us and God. Whenever anything difficult comes, he wants it to be a wedge that pushes you away from God. For many times he's successful. In many people's lives, when tough times come, they choose to walk away from God, to turn away, to be bitter, to be angry. But God's purpose of allowing me those things is to help us draw closer to him and to see his grace in a deeper, deeper way. When tough times come, we need to remember who is for us, okay, and who is against us. We need to remember that God is for us and Satan and evil is against us. And so Paul did what all of us should do when he was dealing with that thorn in the flesh, and he did pray. He prayed. And a great prayer that many of us pray when tough times come, God, take away this problem. Right? Isn't that our prayer? That's not a bad prayer. Paul prayed. God, take away this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan. Take it away. I don't really want to deal with this. And we want that, right? We want our problems of tough times to be taken away. Sometimes God does that. Sometimes things don't go as we desire, and we pray. Paul pleaded, he prayed, he begged in some ways. It shows here, he said at least three times, I think it was probably more, but it was probably, he remembers those three distinct times. Okay, God, you've healed all these other people. I prayed for them, and they've been healed. Do it for me. Whatever way that looked like for him. But we know from the Bible that God hears and answers every prayer. God's Word talks about that. God hears and answers every prayer. Here's something that we also know is sometimes his answer is wait. Sometimes his answer is no. Right? You realize that Jesus prayed that type of prayer and got that kind of answer? Jesus, the Son of God? All his prayers weren't answered the way he prayed? No. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, if there's any other way for this purpose of ours to happen without me going to the cross, let this cup pass from this. The cup is a symbol of suffering. Let this cup of suffering pass. If there's any other way we can do this without me going through all this torture, be crucified, let it pass. But then he prayed in part of the last prayer, not my will, but yours be done. God the Father answered that prayer, ultimately, no, this cup will not pass. He answered, even as I said, I've got better purpose for you. I've got a better plan. I will not take away your trials, your problems, your thorn, but I will give you power. I will give you grace to endure and grace to grow. That's a key. God is risen here. He gives us grace to not only endure it, but to grow through those difficult times. To Paul, Jesus stated, it's interesting, if you hear your Bible, you see it's red. Many people believe that Jesus here is talking to him. You may have had another vision where Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul was learning an important truth, a truth and a principle that you and I need to know, and we need to believe and to live by, and that is that God's sustaining grace is sufficient. God's sustaining grace is sufficient for our lives. As we look at this idea of grace, we've been talking about grace here for the last 4 or 5 weeks. And there's some different definitions of grace. Grace looks different in different circumstances. We talked a lot about the grace of God and the essence of our salvation. And the definition, ultimately, that is God's unmerited favor through Christ where we gain our salvation. In other words, Christ died on the cross in our place. We sang about that earlier, even in the song Amazing Grace. And that through his grace, his dying on the cross, that we receive salvation. But there's also a second part of grace. So we talked about it a couple weeks ago, about showing that kind of grace. But here's the definition that one person talked about, this idea of grace. Is God's divine assistance or sustenance to us through the Holy Spirit. John Calvin put it this way. It is the help of the Holy Spirit which comes to us from God's undeserved favor. In other words, the Holy Spirit comes and helps us, sustains us, gives us the ability to make it through those tough times in life. Sustaining grace meets each of us at our point of need and equips us with courage, wisdom, and strength. Let me say it again, because it's kind of one of the key sentences in this message. Listen to it. Sustaining grace meets us at our point of need and equips us, helps us with the courage, wisdom, and strength from the Holy Spirit. See, God never gives us a challenge that he doesn't also give us the grace to get through it. As you and I go through tough times, God has given us his Holy Spirit who resides within all who have put their trust in Christ. That he is there with us to help us make it through those difficult times. And as we do that, something that we learn is that we grow. We grow in dependence on God, which is something he wants us to do, right? He wants us to learn to depend on him rather than upon ourselves. Take a moment and think back. We looked at a bunch of those different issues that could be Paul's thorn, right? Let's kind of look back at them for a minute. Some of them maybe hit home with you. And let's think, why wouldn't God take that thorn from him or from us? Is there something that we can gain from those? Is there a way that we can learn more dependence upon God and actually grow in our faith? Think about whatever we talked about, maybe it's a particular temptation that Paul went through. You know, if God were to remove every temptation that we had, would we grow? No, we wouldn't. Would Paul have grown in maybe more pride? Even in his own estimation, he thought maybe he'd become more prideful. But instead, because of those temptations he learned, and we learn to depend upon God to resist them. We depend upon the Holy Spirit to give us strength and courage to resist those. How about opposition or enemies? Anybody have people that just rub you the wrong way? They're really kind of like, I mean, they see you as their enemy? Why would God allow that? Well, maybe he wants you to show the same kind of grace that he showed us. You ever thought that? Maybe they need to see the grace of God from us to them, so he doesn't take those enemies away all the time. What about a personality trait? Remember Paul's, maybe his, one of his personality traits was abrasiveness. All of us are rough around the edges. All of us have personality quirks or things that rub people wrong. Why doesn't God just take those away? Well, maybe because God's not finished with us yet. Right? Again, learning to rely on him. And his grace is sufficient even to overcome our flaws. But help us become more and more like him. Here's one that's tough for many of us. And I know many of you, some of you dealing with this, is issues with our body, right? All the failings of this body that we have and that we're going to have, you know? Here's a question. If God doesn't heal us, can we still be thankful? Can we still be thankful even when our bodies are, you know, falling apart around us? Can we glorify God? Here's when something terrible comes into our lives, could God be wanting to use that to show others that his grace is sufficient not only for you, but it can help them? Maybe it helps somebody point somebody else to see that Jesus could help them through their difficult time as well. To show that his grace is sufficient. To show that we will depend on him no matter what. Or maybe it's a skill, right? For some of us, you know, Paul may have had a speech impediment. You know, we all have something that we wish was better in our lives. You know, God, you know, maybe we pray, I could certainly serve you and do something better for you if you would just, you know, help me to articulate better. Maybe I was a better speaker or a better singer. You know, maybe, or if I could, you know, some of our worship team, they're thinking, if I could just play better, if I didn't even have to look at the notes, I could just do so much better, God. Or maybe we pray, you know, for do better at a skill or a job. You know? God, it seems like I just worked hard, so hard, and I get better, but there's this detriment that just, you know, this learning disability that I have. I just can't overcome it. Sometimes we pray, God, just take that away. Just make these skills, I would do so much better. And yet, what does God say? My grace is sufficient. Matter of fact, I can use that for my good. He wants us to experience the sufficiency of his grace. That word sufficient, that kind of, maybe you don't, not familiar with that word. That, another definition, another synonym is the word content. Content. It's a state of heart where you're at peace with God, even if he doesn't change that thing or those things that you want in your life. Being content that his grace is enough. But what about when God says no? Sometimes he says, wait, what about when God says no to your prayer? Take away that problem or that hardship. Will it be a wedge or will it draw you to more dependence? Will it help you to rely on his assistance, the assistance of the Holy Spirit? What about when tough times come, when the worst times come, will you experience the deepest kind of grace? Is his grace sufficient? Some of you, we could stop and probably spend an easy hour just talking about how God's grace sustained you through many different things. Every single one of you probably has a story. And it would encourage us. Unfortunately, we don't have time right now. But stop and think about somebody you know from experiencing your own life that your prayer was God taken away, but God didn't at that moment. And you just experienced his grace in an amazing way. We talked about John Newton. It's interesting. Nathan and I didn't correlate on that, but he kind of mentioned John Newton, right? The new song Amazing Grace. John Newton didn't just write the song Amazing Grace. He experienced Amazing Grace throughout his life, not just when he was saved initially, came from being a slave trader, sailor, but throughout his life. He married a woman named Mary, and they were married for a number of years. A later life, he experienced one of the most difficult things that any of us could experience, which was to bury his wife. His wife Mary died. And he had prayed for her healing. Many in the church prayed that she would be healed. And yet his prayer was not answered the way he did. And yet God's grace proved sufficient. He grieved like any of us would, but he found God's grace sufficient. Because listen to what he wrote later on about this experience. He wrote this, kind of interesting terms. He said, "The Bank of England is too poor. It doesn't have enough money in it to compensate for such losses I have experienced." And he says, "The Lord, the all-sufficient God, speaks, and it is done. Let those who know him and trust him be of good courage. He can give them strength according to their day. He can increase their strength as their trials increase. And he can do what he has promised he will do. His grace is sufficient." John Newton, the Apostle Paul, experienced grace in tough times. And they both realized one last thing that I think is important for us, and Paul wrote it here, is they also experienced increased power in weakness. Isn't that interesting? They experienced power in weakness. Look at verse 9 and 10. We read it earlier, but listen again. He said to me, Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Why? So that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Maybe some of those things we talked about, maybe it was more than one thing that was a thorn in his flesh. But there's an amazing truth here that many people and many Christians miss, and that is this, that you know what? Our God uses our weaknesses. He uses our weaknesses. The Holy Spirit uses one who decides that, you know what? God can use me, even in the things that I don't like. The Holy Spirit uses one who comes not in their own strength, but even in their own weakness, where they depend upon the grace of God, right? Stop and think about this. Think about people in your life who have touched your life because they've shown weakness in their life. They've shown vulnerability. Have you ever had someone like that? I've had a lot of people. Actually, some people that you would think would be the least use of God or some of the greatest. You know, I think of someone like, you know, the tough and abrasive and, you know, kind of put your foot in your mouth type person like Peter. I mean, you know, if God can use Peter, maybe he can use someone like me. Or you think of Mary, Mother of Jesus. Think of Mary, this teenager who just lived in a small town. Just a normal girl. God could use her. And maybe God could use a teenager or a young woman like you. You know, I think of someone, if God could give power and purpose to a quadriplegic, someone who has no use of arms or legs, someone like Johnny Erickson Tata, some of you know of her from many years ago. She dove into the water and broke her neck. And yet, here's a woman who, though a quadriplegic, now paints from her teeth with a paintbrush. Beautiful paintings. I can't even do stick figures. She's got a beautiful painting. One who speaks to literally thousands, maybe millions of people now about God's grace. And I think if God can use someone like her, then maybe God can use someone like me and like you. In their weakness, their weaknesses became their strengths. We are all going to go through tough times. Sometimes it will be a direct attack of Satan to discourage you, to put a wedge between you and God. Sometimes, quite honestly, it's just the circumstances of life. Sometimes, as I said, life happens. And we live in a sinful world. Things just happen. But we need to realize that God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is there by his Holy Spirit to help us through those times. Know that God has a deeper purpose through those to draw us closer to him, to rely upon him, to experience the sufficiency, the contentedness of his grace as he leads us in those times. And to know God's grace will give us strength in our weakness. And to use that weakness, he can use that thorn in the flesh in other people's lives as well. Even in your weaknesses, even in your trials and troubles, God can use that to touch other people. I hope and I pray each one of us, as we think about God's grace, as we conclude this series on that, as we think about this grace that is a personal grace for each one of us, that we would know that God's grace is sufficient. That God's grace is truly enough. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your messenger, Paul. and for his life and his openness and honesty to us. And Lord, even how you used him, you said no to his prayer to take that thorn in the flesh, whatever it was, away. And now, because of that testimony, he's been used for literally 2,000 years in the future of encouraging us, other believers, that we can endure whatever thorn we may have to have. So Lord, speak to us. May your grace abound. May we find sufficiency through the work of your Spirit. And Lord, may each of us be part of your grace. Sometimes we need each of us to be that grace to another person who's going through a tough time. So thank you for your grace in tough times.